On Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis B'mai Ukimtala. But before we get to that, let's just go back to Ayin Beis Amid Aleph. We had a brisa that said that if he was Magdish Shloshei Lanos B'Zachar Zeh, and it means that there's no single Hakdosh of a Stei Ilon of three Lanos, is Hareza Lo Higdish Loa karka veloasal ilonos beinehem lefichu shu poda podes ilonos bishavyehem. And the Gemara went on to explain that that brisa doesn't square with Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't square with Rabbanon, and rather it is to be attributed to Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara now here on Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis says b'mai ukimta. How did you interpret that brisa? Kirevi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is the one who authored that brisa. So the Gemara says, but Amos Sefer, let's look at the second part of the brisa. The first part of the brisa could be Rabbi Shimon, that if a person is magdish two ilonos or shlosh ilonos bezecher, say he was not magdish the karka, and therefore he has to be poda the ilonos b'shavyehem. But in the Seifa, it says the following: V'lo od el afilu higdish es ha'ilonos. Let's say he was magdish all three ilonos, one after the other. V'chazav higdish es hakarka. Now he was magdish the karka. K'shu poda es ha'ilonos bishav yehen. He has to be poda the ilonos as a separate entity, as that's what we saw, but. Then it says v'chozer upode base zerachomer siorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Since the lonos and the karka have two separate hakdeshos, and he was magdish first the lonos and secondly later on the karka, once is a separate hakdesh for each one. Is then Ve'i Rabbi Shimon, we have a problem in attributing this brisa to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon, as we're going to see, lazel boser pigeon. Rabbi Shimon says that to determine the critical moment of determining what and how much to be poda depends upon the shas pigeon, when he comes to be poda befall. And here, since he was magdish the karka, subsequent to the Ilanos, it becomes a stay Ilan at the moment of Pidgeon, v'nifriku agavarayu, and therefore the Pidgeon on the Karka with Chamishim Shekel Kesef would suffice even for the Ilanos. He doesn't need a separate Pidgeon on the Ilanos, Toshamin and Lay, and now we're going to go ahead and prove that indeed Rabbi Shimon holds the Ozel Bosa Pidgeon, that the Shas Pidgeon is critical. Rabbi Shimon Darshan's a pasuk at the end of Vayikra, which speaks about pidgin hegdish of a steachuza. It says, "V'im misteachuzo so yagdish ish lashem v'hoya erkecha," and it means achshav b'shas pidgin, and then it says base zerach omer siorim. Everything depends upon the critical moment of pidgin. This sanya we learned in a brisa, which deals with the case of Hegdesh in a specific kind of way, and the issue is whether or not it's a stay achuza that you're podu with chamishim shekel kesef, or it's a stay mikne, which is a regular soda that he bought. It's not a stay achuza that he inherited, which is niftes bishavyeh. That's how the Rashbam interprets this sugi. Rashi in Chumash has a different pshat, that even a stay niftes, even a stay mikne, is redeemed with the cheshme beis zera. And therefore, in Mesechta Gittin, on Daf Mem Ches, he explains the difference between the two, meaning between a stay achuza and a stay mikne, is that in a case where he wasn't poda before the Yovel, and now the Gizbar sold it to someone else, Steachuza can no longer be redeemed. It's Yotzeis B'Yovel, and it gets divvied up amongst the Kohanim. And a Ste Mikne, when it goes out B'Yovel, it always goes back to its original Bailim. In any event, let's go back to the Braisa. The Braisa says, Minayin lelokeach soda mi'aviv v'kedisha v'acharkach meis aviv. So the sequence here is critical. Please pay attention that the soda was purchased from the father, and then the son, after purchasing his father's soda, went ahead and he was magdish the field. His father is still alive at this point. V'acharkach meis aviv. And now the ben is Yorish's father. Minayin shetehei lefanov kistei achuza. How do we know that despite the fact that he, the ben, purchased this field during the lifetime of his father, and really in effect the inheritance is not chal on this sod, nevertheless it still retains its status as a stei achuza, which means the pigeon will be 50 shekel kesef. It doesn't have the status of a stei mikna, a sod which was purchased, that has to be redeemed according to its value. Talmud Lomar, this we're going to be deriving from a diuk in the pasuk. V'im es stei miknaso asher lo misteach uzoso yagdish. And we're darshaning it in the following way. Sada, which means a stei mikne, she'ena re'uya lios steach uzo. When do we say that the Hegdesh laws and the pigeon laws are set according to the status of a stei mikne? That's only when the stei mikne was not re'uya at the time it became kodesh to become a stei achuza yotza zu. But this sada that he purchased from his father and he was magdishit, at the moment that he was magdishit, this sada was re'uya lios stei achuza. Now, why is it re'uya lios a stei achuza? Because the ultimate Yerusha, when his father dies subsequent to the Sakdasha, sets it up as a stei achuza, divrei Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So we're looking at the critical moment of Pidyon, and we're defining this sod as a stei achuza, because at that moment of Pidyon, he, the son, had already inherited his father. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir disagrees, and he says that this pasuk is not teaching us that if the son was magdish the field that he got from his father during the lifetime of his father, then it retains its status of a stei achuza. That's not acceptable, according to Rabbi Meir, because how could that be? Since at the time that the son was magdish, it was a classical stei mikne, not a stei achuza. But rather, Pasuk is telling us something else. Minayin lelokeach sada me'aviv. If he purchases a field from his father, umeis aviv, v'acharkach higdish. Now the Yerusha has some relationship to the field that he bought from his father. Minayin shetei lefanav kistei achuza, talmud lomar v'im esdei miknas, the same Pasuk, asher lo mistei achuzaso, which means that only a sada she'ena stei achuza, meaning at the time of the Akadosh, it was not a stei achuza, he didn't inherit it, then it becomes a stei mikna, yotza sazu, but to the exclusion of the case where he was magdish after his father died, so there was already Yerusha, she stei achuza, it was already a stei achuza at the moment of Hakadosh, which means, says the Rashbam, had his father not died, this sada would have gone back biyovel to his father, because the Torah says in Vayikra Chav Zayin, Bishnas ha-yovel yoshuv ha-sada l'asher kanomi ito. So now when his father dies, this sada becomes a stei achuza for the ben. Why? Because it's going to go back to the father at yovel. But if he was magdish at first, the son, and then his father died, that's not a stei achuza, according to Rabbi Meir, because at the critical moment of his hakdasha, it was now a stei mikne. And for mentioning Yovel, I just want to add another point from the Rashbam. We know that with regard to a stei achuza, the pigeon is evaluated as base zera chomer siorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. And that chamishim shekel kesef, says the Rashbam, which he has to use for the pigeon of Hegdesh, if he was magdish a karka that had a base kur, that, says the Rashbam, only applies if he if he was Magdish immediately after the Yovel, because then he has a full 49 years until the next Yovel. But if, let's say, the number of years until the next Yovel is less than 49 years, then the amount of money that he would pay as a redemption, as a pidyon, goes down as well, commensurate to the fact that the Yovel is coming up shortly, so to speak, or relatively shortly. And then the Rashbam says that the cheshbon would be sela ufidyon l'shana. Getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says that Ilu, the Ilu Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, they disagree with Rabbi Meir. They hold that hecha demes ovi v'achar kach ikdisha lo tzrichi kroy. They're not willing to use the pasuk and dashen it the way Rabbi Meir dashens it, because that's a case, the way Rabbi Meir dashens, that's pshita, that certainly it's considered a steach, because we don't need a pasuk for that, because if the father died and then there was Hegdesh, then for sure it's a steach. But ki yitzrich kra, the chiddush of the pasuk is coming to the case of hecha de gedisha. If the son was magdishit bechaye aviv, v'achakach meis aviv, that's the chiddush, that it still retains its status as a steachuza, even though the hegdesh was immediately subsequent to the purchase of the field on the part of the ben. Minolahu, the Gemara now wants to clarify, how did they know, that's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that even if the son was magdished before his father's died, it's still considered a steachuza. And imei haikra, if they derived from this pasuk, ema lichir de Rabbi Meir hu di asa. After all, they would be stuck with the following question, that maybe the pasuk is only teaching us the chiddush of Rabbi Meir, that the father died before the hegdesh took place. Then it's a steachuza. How do they know to be machadish a greater chiddush? In other words, we always have a rule that if there's one single ribui, we're only marba the lesser chiddush and not the greater chiddush. El olav, it must be mishum, because of the svara of the azli basar pidyon, that the critical moment that determines the pidyon is the moment of pidyon. And therefore they're going to interpret the pasuk to teach us that even though the hegdish took place before the father died, it still, after the father's death, becomes a steachuza, or retains its status as a steachuza. Why? Because when they come to be podit, it's re'uya lios steachuza, because it will revert back at Yovel. So now we come to the following problem. This brisa that we wanted to suggest is Aliba de Reb Shimon is very difficult, because you're telling me that according to Reb Shimon in this brisa, if he was Magdish Ilanos and then subsequently is Magdish Karka, then these are two separate Hekdeshos, and the pidyon therefore of the Ilanos is B'Shavyeyem. How could you possibly say that? After all, according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, we've already proven that everything is determined by pidyon, and here he wants to be poda everything together, the ilanos and the karka, as one entity of esteachuza, of esteilon, excuse me, and therefore the pidyon should be 50 shekel sela, 50 shekel kesa. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, li olam bi alma Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon lo azli basar pidyon. As a general rule, they agree that we don't go pidyon, but rather we should go basar shas hakadosh l'chumra. Therefore, if he's magdish bitchila, only the ilonos, that means the value of the ilonos, and then he was magdish the karka, we're not going to be mafsid hegdish and say that he'll get away with Chamishim Kesef, but rather he has to be poda everything independently. And that's exactly what happens here in this brisa. V'hacha kra ashkechu v'dorush, but they found the pasuk to indicate that it means to teach you that we look at the Shas Pidyon in terms of the potential of the karka. No, at this point the Gemara is saying that hacha kra ashkechu v'darish. In other words, the Torah itself is telling you that it has the status of a steachuza, not because of shas pidyon. in Cain. So the Gemara says, why not we say like Rabbi Meir that the Hakdosha would have to take place after the death of the father, and then and only then it becomes a Steachus, a Lichtov Kra. But here's where Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon said that according to Rabbi Meir's drasha, the pasuk should have said V'im es sde miknoso asher lo achuzoso or inami asher lo ste achuzoso. That would have been enough to teach us that if at the moment of Hegdesh it was a ste achuzo, then it doesn't get the din of a ste makna. My, but why does the pasuk say instead asher lo mi ste achuzo? What's the asher lo miste achuza? That extra word of miste means miktas sode. And the pasuk is coming to tell us that esha'ena ru'uyo lios ste achuza, yotzazu, shiru'uyo lios ste achuza, that since at the time of the pigeon it can become a ste achuza, therefore the pigeon is that of a ste achuza. So the basic shita of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, is lo azlina basa pigeon. The exception to the rule is in defining the ste achuza in the case of the ben, because of the pasuk, and he has a diuk in the pasuk, because it doesn't say asher lo achuzoso, it says asher lo miste achuzoso. Now Tosus Divrei Maskil Kra says that the Gemara could have rejected the kasha in a different way and could have explained that the machlokas tanoim here revolves about the din of kinyan peiros, where the kinyan peiros is kinyan guftami. Or lavka kinyan aguf, that Yehuda Reb Shimon hold kinyan peiros lavka kinyan aguf, and therefore we don't need a pasuk to teach me that in a case where the father died and then the son was magdish the field, in that case it's a stei achuzah legamre. Why? Because the father during his lifetime could only sell to his son the kinyan peiros, and in such a case, since the son doesn't have a kinyan on the goof, then the basic kinyan goof remains in the possession of the father, and therefore for sure to stay achuza. So ein lo chich mikan shatanoim elu sovrim sholchem achar shas pijon. If that would be the case, giving that answer, then there's no proof here that the Shas Pidgin is Koveh. It all has to do with a reflection of Kinyan Peres Lavka Kinyan Aguf. Rabbi Meir Sover Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf. And therefore he needs the Pasuk for a case where the father died and then subsequently the Ben was Magdashit, to say that he didn't inherit anything from his father. Because again, since he has a kinyan peiros kinyan aguf, then he's really not inheriting anything from his father, and therefore it's not a stei achuza. And on that I need the pasuk. Tosfos says that the Gemara was of the opinion in Gittin to actually interpret it that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir in that way. Now we get back to the Gemara. Keep in mind that the Braisa earlier on Daf Ayin Beis Amid Aleph told us that if you magdish three ilonos simultaneously, then you will magdish the karka as well, that if he was magdish three ilonos with vasachas, and he was magdish with them the karka which is necessary for the anika, so that Hegdesh would receive be ayin yofe umagdish both the ilonos and the karka. Now the Gemara brings another statement of Rav Huna that's relevant to this topic. We said back on Samaches Amid Beis that if a person sells a field, he did not sell chashav ilonos with the field. That's charav hamurkav and sadana shikma. Even if he would say in the sale, he v'chomash v'tocha mechurin, because these ilonos are not part of the sodom, Rav Huna, charuv hamurka v'sadana shikma, toras ilonolov v'toras karkolov. These trees have a double status, a tzvei dinim kind of. Number one, they have a toras ilonolov, which means that if he sells, he doesn't include these ilonos. He's only selling karka. He's only selling the field. And also, if he's magdish Hechadehig the Agdish Ozabin Shnei Ilonos. If he was Magdish or he sold two Ilonos, regular Ilonos, Vahai, and together with this Hegdish or this sale, he also sold a Charuv Hamurka Vosodana Shikma Yeshlo Karka. Rav Huna says that he has Karka. In other words, the buyer acquires Karka. Just like the case of Hakone Shloshi Ilonos, the Charuv and the Shikma are considered more Chashiv than Shar Ilonos, and nevertheless, the Chashivosan is not Gorea their Koach. And therefore, when he's Magdish, this set of three Ilonos, then, or if he sells it, then the Hegdish or the Lokech acquires also the Karka. The Omer of Huna, right, I'm sorry, but Torah's Karka Olav, Delom is Daban, Agav Ara. So it has the status of Karka, which means it's not included in a sale together with the Sada because of its own Chashivus. Meaning it's considered like a Sada unto itself. Now, you'll ask me, why did Rav Huna have to mention this? This is Mefurish in the Mishnah. So the Rashbam says that Agav, the first din, he mentions this din. And if he sells a Sada, and there were only two Ilonos, regular two Ilonos, and the Charuv and the Shikba was the third, then the two Ilonos, the classical Ilonos, are sold within the field, within the context, but the Charuv and the Shikma are not sold. And here's a Chiddush, that even though in this case you would have said that let's consider the Ilon as far as the Kinyan is concerned to be together with the Karka, no, it's not considered part of the Karka. Ve'omer Rav Huna, and additionally Rav Huna made the following statement, Omer Sheyeshbo Sasayim Toras Omer Olav and Toras Gadish Olav. With regard to the laws of Shichacha, the halacha is that if you have this Omer, which is a gathering of large Shibolim, and it has a shear of Sasayim, which is a massive amount of Tvua, then in such a case the Omer has two different identities. It's an Omer, and it's considered a Gadish. Toras Omer Olav Dishnei Omrim Shichacha. If you forgot two Omrim, it's considered Shichacha, which means you're not allowed to go back and take them. You have to leave them for the Aniyim. But Shnayim Vehu. Let's say he forgot two Omrim, regular size Omrim, and the third Omer had a Sasayim, is Eno Shichacha. Because that's equivalent to the Din of Shichacha Bishlosha Omrim Regilim. And there's no din of shicha. This is derived from the pasuk in Dvarim Chavdal v'shachachta Omer b'sadeh. The Sifri says Omer v'lo gadish u'mishlosha Omrim u'mala nikra gadish. But Torah's gadish olav disnan. We have a mishnah at the beginning. No, I'm sorry. It's actually towards the end of Peah. Omer sheyesh po sasayim. Is shechacha o eino shechacha? It gains the status of a gadish, and therefore there's no din of shechacha. And the chiddush here of Rav Huna is that if you have defined this omer sheyeshbo sasayim as pure, unadulterated gadish, it would not be mitzuraf. It would not be integrated with the two regular omrim to set up the halacha of shlosha omrim, which, as we said before, we derive from the pasuk that Shlosha Omrim is considered a Gadish, but maybe if one of those three Omrim is a Gadish, it's not considered like an Omer to play the role of the third Omer. It's just a separate entity unto itself. It's not even subject to the law of Shichah, because it has the din of Torah's Gadish Olav. If it's Mufka from Shichah, then it would not be integrated into the two other omrim, each one of which is included, is nitan l'shichacha. Now we go back to the Mishnah daf ayin aleph amid aleph. If a person was magdish his sada, it's hegdesh for the entire sada. Reb Shimon says that a person who's magdish his sada, he's not including in the hegdesh the charuv hamurkav and the sadan hashikma. Now the Gemara explain, and as we saw earlier, the Gemara explained that according to Reb Shimon himself, he holds that even the charuv hashikma is not included in the Hegdesh, because the Ayin Ro Magdish. If Rabbi Shimon mentioned that Charuv v'Shikma are included in the Hegdesh, then he was only saying it L'Divrei Rabbanan. And now the Gemara is going to bring a statement of Reish Lakish that's relevant to this. Omer Rabba Babra Chana, Omer Reish Lakish, Charuv Hamurka v'Sadana Shikma, is it included in the Hegdesh of the Sod? Is it not? Bono L'Machlokas Rabbi Menachem B'Rabbi Yossi, Vira Bonon. According to Rabbanon, the Charuv Hamurkav and the Sadan HaShikma are included in the sale of the field, because in the Hegdish of the field, and the reason for that is Ha Magdish Bi Ayin Yofu Magdish, as we saw in the Mishnah earlier, and Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi hold Einam Kedoshim, because he holds like the way the Gemara interpreted earlier in Rabbi Shimon, that Ha Magdish Bi Ayin Rahu Magdish. And therefore, even Charuv, which is takes a lot of its nourishment and its nutrients from the Sada, nevertheless, it's not Kadosh. And the Rashbam adds here, he says, even though Ilan Ayonik Mistei Hegdesh, you would think that since the Ilan itself is nourishing its nutrients from the Kark of Hegdesh, but nevertheless, according to Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Shimon, the Magdish Ba'in Yofa is Mishar Li'atzmu in a Karka Ayonik. Whatever Karka he needs in order to give life and maintain the existence of this charuv, etc., and shikma, that he retains for himself. Vidilma, says the Gemara, Machlokes Rav Shimon v'Rabbanan. The Gemara asks the question, why does Reish Lakish assume in his language that Rav Menachem Rav Yossi is an original independent Shita? The Lema, he should have said, Machlokes Rav Shimon v'Rabbanan. Why didn't he mention that... That it's not, you know, Reish Lakish seems to indicate that he discovered here America. He found Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi. I mean, what about Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon himself holds that the Chorav and the Shikma are not included in the Hegdesh. So why didn't Reish Lakish mention that? Kamash Malan. He wanted to tell us that Rabbi Shimon is not a loner. Even Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi, Kirab Shimon Svili, he has a friend in Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi who sees the halacha likewise. Hadron Alecha Hamochras Abbas. Now, the fifth parak Hamochras Asfina is a new parak in its fundamental subject matter, because as the Rashbam points out here earlier in his presentation, until now we're discussing Karka. And now we're shifting over to metaltolin. So we're going from real estate to movable objects. And the Mishnah wants to talk about the sale of a boat, Hamocher Sasfina. So here we are on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're starting the new Perek. A person sold, Reuven sold a ship, and he did not specify which of the parts of the ship are included in this sale. And there are many things inside the ship that even function and enhance the ship. What's included, what's not? Mocharas HaToran. This is a mot gavoa. This is that large, tall mast on which they pores miparshe asfina, mifrase asfina. The mifrase asfina is what we're going to come to next. Those are the drapes and so forth that are attached to the mast of the ship, called in English a sail. and that's called Vyasa Nes. Vyasa Ogin, these are the anchors. In other words, you have a steel anchor that they throw from the Sfina to the Karkois Hayam, to the ground of the sea, in order to make sure that the Sfina stays in one place. Veskol Haman Higimosa, and anything that's necessary to drive the ship, to guide the ship, all these are what we call critical, essential to the Sfina, and they're included in the sale of the Sfina. It's like you can't sell a car without its motor, without its engine. Avalo Machar, but there are many things inside the boat that he didn't sell. Los Avadim, let's say the owner of the Sfina, you know, he has various workers or servants that operate the ship. Veloas Amartzufin, but the sale does not include these sakim gedolim, these large bags that they put in it, the merchandise that they carry from place to place. Los Antiki, and not any cargo that's on the ship. He simply sold the ship, and the Ikar Tashmishim of the ship, that's what's included, anything that's essential to the ship. However, Vi Ubizman She'omer lo, he v'chol ma she'besochar re'kulam mechurim. But all these bags and cargoes and the servants and so forth that are in the ship are included in the sale if he declared he v'chol ma she'besochar, everything that's inside the ship. And the chiddush here is that even avodim, even cargo, which are in the Sfina, that aren't even meshamesh the Sfina, they don't add or function on behalf of the Sfina, nevertheless, he said, kol mash betoch, they're included in the Mechira. The Gemara says, Toren, what is the Toren? Meaning the Mishnah is using a word in Lashon Kodesh, what's its Aramaic translation? Iskaria. That's the mast of the ship. V'chenu Omer, and the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Eretz milvanon lakochu lasos toren aloich. In other words, the Navi here wants to give a mashal that the city of Tsar is like a Sfina Mishubachas. It's as great as an outstanding ship. Shech bido masa betocha, with lots of cargo, heavy cargo. And Vitova Baruch Kadim, if a strong wave comes and the ship sinks because of its COVID, its special weight, then there's no way that the sailors on the ship can save the ship. And the Navi uses this as a mashal that Sfina Zusha Bonuos of Eskol Luchos Venisra Sfina. They use Mivroshim, they use Harazim, Mishubachim, but the Navi wants to say that there's a precarious situation here for Klal Yisrael, and he mentions the Toren that was made from the cedar trees in his description of this massive boat. Then we get to Nes. What's the sail called in Aramaic? Idra. Again, these are the Arios, these are the curtains that or pieces of embroidery that are put on attached to the mast of the Sfina, so that when the wind comes and it blows, it's going to be molech, it's going to move the ship. Chenu Omer, and also in the same place in Yechezkel, I'll prove to you that the Nes is the Mifras Sheporsim al Torin Asfina. It says Sheish Berikma. Rikma is embroidery. Mimitzrayim haya mifrasech lios lach lines. So mifras, that's the way that you take pishtan, you take linen, you take canvas, and other types of begadim, and you place them up attached to the mast as the sail. Ogin, Tani Rabbi Chiya, elu oginim shelah. These are the very heavy pieces of metal that are tied down to the Sfina, so that if they have to set up the Sfina, they just throw these pieces of metal, or one single heavy piece of metal, over to the Karkas Hayam, and that's going to anchor the ship in such a way that it won't move. V'cheinu Omer, and so the Pasuk says in Rus, and here we talk about the word Aguna. Aguna is a woman who's also tied down, she can't get married. She's like an anchor, she's like in jail, she's anchored. And the Pasuk in Rush says, Halahen tisaberna ad asher yigdulu, halahen teagena levilti ayosli. She turns to Rush and Arpa and says, you want to come, and join me in my journey to Eretz Yisrael, and you think that I can marry you off to my other children in the light of the fact that you lost your sons. Well, you know what? Naomi says to his two daughter-in-laws, you're gonna have to wait a heck of a long time until they'll be old enough and mature enough to be married off to you. Right now, you're in a state of Te'agana, which means you're in a state of igun, Te'agena. The Gemara says, Manhigim. What are the Manhigim? Om Rabbi Abba, Elu ha Mishotin Shelah. Right, the Mishnah says that the Manhigim are included in the sale. What are these Manhigim? And the answer is Motos. Motos, again, we said, is the mast. And the sailors use these motos in order to guide the boat. And we're talking about things that are not attached to the boat itself. Meshotim are motos eights. They're made out of wood, as opposed to the... What did we discuss before? The ogin. The ogin we said was made of metal, the anchors. These are the oars. V'cheinu omer elonim, if you take oak trees, mi boshan asu mishotech, and you make them into oars. So these are tashmishi asfina that are very critical and essential to get the boat moving. And therefore they're considered part of the sail. V'bois em mehocha, another pasuk, and all this is in Yechezkel, Perikov Zion, Viyardu, Meoniyoseyem, Kol Tovse Mashot. Those who are grabbing onto the oars got off the boat. So we see that the oars are called Meshotim, and they are the Manhigim that are mentioned here in the Mishnah. Now, again, this Pasuk, or both of these Psukim, omit any mention of Manhigim. All that we find in these psukim are mishotayach, or mishot. So it's very odd that the Gemara would quote these psukim in order to prove that manhigim are considered mishotim. There's no indication of that whatsoever in these psukim. Again, the best you can do is prove that Meshotim are considered Manhige Asfina, and then maybe we could figure out and jump the next level and figure out that Manhigim in the Mishnah is referring to Shotim. And the Chiddush is that even those Meshotim are not Mechubarim, they're not connected to the Sfina, nevertheless, they're included in the sail of the Sfina, of the boat itself. Tanur Rabbanon, we learned in a Braisa, a mocher sasfina, if a person sells a boat, then mocher es ha'iskela, he sells included in this sale what we call in English a gangplank, which means a keves, that you know, plank that you use to climb into the boat, because that's also critical. V'es bar hamayim shebetocha. And if there's a cistern in the boat that allows fresh water to be collected for those who are traveling in the boat, that also is critical to the boat. And the reason why they need fresh water is because the water of the sea is salty, and that can't be used for drinking. It's not drinking water. Now, the Rimi Gash says that the iskala is not a gangplank, but rather it's a beis hakise, and that's also critical to the boat. You have to have a place where they can, you know, do what they have to do. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson says, Amokhar sasfina mochar es habitzis. They used to have smaller boats, we call them rowboats, that were connected to the larger yachts, and when they climbed onto the abush, onto the dry land, they would use these smaller boats to get onto the dry land. And sometimes in a more contemporary context, these small boats are lifeboats as well. You know, and that's the way they can escape if the boat hits up against a mountain. Sumchus Omer, Sumchus came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Amochas asfina mochas adugis. Again, the word dugis is also has the same meaning as beetzes, just in a different language, and it's referring to the small boats that the fishermen would use to go off the large boat in order to go out to the sea and fish. Omarova beetzes hainu dugis, but Rabbi Nosson Bavlohavi, Rabbi Nosson was from Bavel, so he used the Babylonian word, which is beetzes, for this rowboat, korele beetzes. And kida amri inshi, that's how people call these boats, butzi osa de meashan, sfinos, small boats of the river of Meshan. And this small river would apparently, if you wanted to move around, you needed the smaller boats. But Sumchus, the Baritz Yisrael, he came from Eretz Yisrael, that's where he was located, and there the waters were much deeper, so they only used these smaller boats for fishing, not for getting onto the dry land. That they didn't need these small boats for. As Karile Dugis, he used the Hebrew word Dugis, Sumchus, to the same small boats, Kedichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Vachrischem Besiros Duga, that ultimately you'll be like the siros of Duga, these small fishing boats. So that Pasuk in Amos is going to indicate that the word Dugas is a reference to these small fishing boats. And the Rashbam adds here that the Navi is prophesizing for Klal Yisrael that they will go, that children will go into Golus in these small boats that are made like a kedera, a pot that's used for the fish that is caught. Anyway, it's a very sad kind of a vision of the Navi. Now, from this point on, for a couple of blot, we're going to have a very famous but mysterious and mystical, or magical, if you want to call it, agadita that's going to last for many blot, three blot, I think. And that's the agadita of Rabba Bar Barchana, many short stories about, according to the Rashbam, the wonders of the world, of the created world, and the reward that's designated for tzaddikim li osid lovo. And all this is sort of like a hemshech of Yordei Ayom, that those we're talking about a Sfina, and if you sell a Sfina, those who went out on ships to the great seas, they were able to see Niflos Habore that we don't normally see. And all these stories, not all these stories, but many of these stories will have to do with going out on a boat out into the water, the deep sea. So Linetta will pick that up in the next shiur.